Ah, gross. And this is stranger still. Just hop right into it.
Oh,
what?
Good job.
Hop.
Oh,
it's awesome.
That's a good place to start. Right.
Well, it's this too late.
Is, no, it's we're in. We started. We're good.
I'm editing this out.
Why? You just did a perfect organic joke.
Welcome to Stranger Still, a podcast where we answer the strange questions you never thought to ask. I'm Nick Wood.
I'm John Biergen.
Okay. And this week we have a very special guest with us. Coming all the way from Limited Cell, the podcast where our co-host, or our guest today, co-hosts with his son about cartoons, Mike Wood.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the show, Dad. How are you?
I'm great.
You're drinking some beer.
I'm very relaxed right now.
Yeah?
Yep.
Just, I want to be completely transparent with our audience. I have nothing prepared for this episode.
He's a ghost.
Oh, who's a ghost?
You said you're going to be transparent.
Oh, that's a good joke.
You just know that I can talk for hours about beer.
Yeah.
So I called you up yesterday and said, hey, want to talk about beer?
My internet's been out since Saturday, and so I wasn't able to like do any research. And John's like, just go to the library and do old-timey research. I'm like, ain't nobody got time for that. So I was like, who do I know that's like an expert on something? And this is actually something that John and I have kind of kicked around every once in a while. Like, maybe we should talk about homebrewing. Because you do homebrewing.
Yes, I know how to
brew beer in your basement.
Yep.
With a bunch of like real equipment and real science.
Kind of been moved to the outside, so
yeah,
we got kicked out of the house. We got too smelly.
Yeah.
I do it in a garage now.
Yeah. But you both are drinking beer right now.
Mm-hmm.
What are you drinking, Dad? This is one of yours, right?
It is. So this is a red IPA.
Which means?
India Pale Ale.
Yeah.
And which we'll talk maybe a little bit more about different types of ales later. But it's pretty strong. This is about just so you know, John,
right? Yeah.
Give you advance warning. It's about 9% alcohol. So it's pretty strong. But the IPAs are very hoppy, very, very bitter.
Mm-hmm.
And, as you probably noticed.
Yeah.
You like those, don't you? You're a hop head. I'm definitely a hop head.
Yeah.
It's kind of got an amber look and, kind of a nice head, and it's very, very bitter. It's got a lot of hops in it.
Yeah. I know what some of those words mean.
Well, that's what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah, so I was just kind of going to let my dad talk about home brewing and beer in general. And the thing is, like, there's a lot of really interesting science. Because I don't know I think we've talked about this on the show. I've never had alcohol before.
Right.
And so I don't know anything about this. But every time you tell me, like, I know so much because everything you tell me about the process is actually very fascinating. So I'm always
pretty,
like,
you know,
enraptured.
It's pretty amazing. You know, it's there's a lot of history.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of science. There's chemistry. So if you like any of those things, or if you just like drinking beer, or like
this
making
is your
beer,
episode.
Yeah, I think this is be something in this for you.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you say making beer. There's a lot of home brewers kind of exploded.
It has.
And that's really cool. It's a really interesting hobby that promotes science, and I can get on board with that. I can respect it as a non-beer drinker. I'm 100% on board with it.
There's a lot of hobbyists out there that are two groups of people, I guess I'll say, that I work with. And one guy, he's an electrician, worked out at the power plant. He started as a hobby, and now he has that brewery restaurant downtown.
Yeah,
just opened it up. So he's gone big time. And then another group of guys has this very, like a full scale brewery set up in one guy's garage, and they're making like 50 gallons.
Holy crap.
In like one batch in one afternoon.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So I do five gallons, like normal kind of hobbyist,
like
five gallon batch.
Yeah, but these guys are size.
So people start out and then they just kind of, that's the thing about it, is you can do whatever you want. You can keep it simple.
Uh-huh.
You can go big scale. You can go make your living out of it.
It's an incredible hobby.
But it is. It's incredible. The craft beer thing has taken off. It's just, it has exploded. Iowa's one of the, I think has one of the highest per capita home brewers.
Yeah.
Population of home brewers. So it's really big in Iowa.
Yeah.
A lot of, you go to Hy-Vee, say, and go, there's like a whole Iowa section.
Yeah.
There's so many breweries in Iowa. There's
I know.
A bunch in Cedar Rapids. I think there's three or four just in Cedar Rapids.
Yeah.
Selling beer now. So.
Yeah. Good for them.
It's all good.
Yeah.
I'm glad it exploded, but I hope they don't explode.
That would be bad. It is explosive. I'm sure my dad will talk about how the science can get quite energetic.
I've blown some stuff up.
Not like your house or anything, a 5-gallon bucket.
One time.
I remember that story.
The bucket exploded.
Yeah. We'll get there. We'll get there. I think as any place that we should start is where beer began. And what I've always heard is we might not be here without beer. Have you heard that?
No.
You didn't? I think I've told you this before.
Yeah, you told me that because you said that my parents were drunk.
No.
That's what you meant, right?
No. I just mean as a civilization.
It happens a lot.
It does. There's like a whole school of thought out there that beer is the reason that we stopped being nomadic and we settled down, because we discovered that if you leave some yeast and barley to ferment for a while, you'd get totally smashed on it. So people wanted to figure out how to replicate that. So they settled down, they started making farms, and that's where we became settlers.
Yeah, it was really hard to get high otherwise back then in cave people times.
Yeah.
Easier to just get a little drunk, get a little tipsy, you know? Hitting yourself in the head with a rock to fall asleep every night.
It's not fun. Yeah. May as well drink your way to sleep.
Right.
Yeah.
So the history I know about, it goes back to the Egyptians and Mesopotamians.
Yeah.
About 4,500 years ago.
The cradle of Earth.
Is when they think they first started having alcoholic beverages.
Yeah.
Whether it was probably something like beer, because what they found, it was purely accidental. They found that they had if grain that got wet and they thought it was spoiled, they found that they would try to like recover it.
Yeah.
And then they found out that if they, like when they used it, that they started feeling funny.
Yeah.
Pretty relaxed. So it was accidental. Then they kind of figured out, hey, we can actually, process this. We can duplicate this accidental.
We can replicate
scenario.
and get
a drink out of it. But it did happen by accident, and they never, and quite honestly, the whole thing is up until about the 1700s, nobody understood how fermentation worked.
Right.
Because
we didn't have germ theory.
Right.
And so basically
it had to do with the yeast, and we'll talk about that, but there's the natural yeast. There's yeast everywhere, just everywhere. Like right now we probably have 1,000 different kinds of yeast strains on our bodies. It's everywhere.
Well, yeah.
Of natural and wild yeast. And that's what was happening is this, the yeast was everywhere and it was on the grain and it got wet and,
Which
of
is
water.
A fun way to get drunk on the weekends if you're on a low budget. Just lick your arms and stuff.
That's disgusting. the concept of yeast kind of relies on us having a better understanding of how the world works.
Mm-hmm.
And, not even until the 1800s did we have germ theory and
that's
bacteria.
Right.
And
I'm going to talk about that when we get into the different components and we start talking. We'll
so
talk
yeast,
about yeast.
Yeast has been around for a long time. So do you ever wonder if it was actually just called yeast and they were like ye east because that's how they talked back then?
Oh, ye old east, and then they shorted it to yeast.
Yeah, that's what it's short for. Is what
that might make sense. There's a lot of alcohol in the east though too, which is where we get IPAs, right? India pale ales. Don't they come from the east?
What?
India pale ales?
Yeah.
That came from Indian trading, right?
Oh, yeah. So the India pale ale, the reason they have a lot of hops in them, they put a lot of hops in them because hops are a preservative.
Yeah.
And it would preserve the beer, a natural preservative.
And so flavorful.
If you like that flavor, which, it's not for everybody. I know a lot of people who don't like the really bitter beers.
Yeah.
That's what they did. So they would put a lot of hops in them, preserve them that long voyage they're going by ship from, I guess, to India.
Yeah.
From England to India.
I wonder if they're really salty beers. then at the time too. To
That's possible. Yeah, right? They're just like experimenting. Probably didn't taste very good. Yeah,
there's probably a lot of drinks that we don't know about because they didn't take off as much as this.
I just heard they put formaldehyde in beer. Like,
yeah. Oh my god.
The Vietnam guy, if the guy's fighting over there.
Oh my god.
So that had to taste pretty good.
Yeah. May as well just drink Agent Orange.
And if you get shot, like, you're all set for your funeral.
Right. Yeah, you're already embalmed. Well, ooh, what else? Boy. I mean, I don't know if there's much else history to beer, is there?
Well,
I'm relying on you a lot on here, on this.
So, they had all these, mead was another real common.
That's like the old-timey brew.
It's like, it's honey. It's fermented honey.
Yeah.
And so, that goes way back, too. They think that might actually be the earliest.
Yeah.
Alcoholic beverage.
How do you ferment honey? Honey stays good forever.
Honey is sugar,
yeah,
and all you need is yeast.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Yeah. We'll get into that.
Honey's antibacterial, so you think it would,
which is something I always bring this up when I talk about beer. Like, there's two miracles of nature that I'm totally amazed by.
Bees,
and we've just talked about them. Yeast,
and honey,
two absolute miracles of nature.
Yeah,
so it's honey crazy. In itself is just amazing. It's just a
bee vomit,
you know. It is, and so it's just amazing, you know, how it's made, and it's, you know, that natural preservative lasts forever, and it's yummy. And then yeast, we'll talk about why yeast is a miracle of nature.
Yeah.
Well, because it eats sugar and makes alcohol and carbon dioxide.
So that's a miracle right there.
That's the miracle of nature.
That's fair enough. Fair enough. So there's plenty of types of alcohols that we could cover today. I don't know. There's plenty of types of beer that we can cover today.
Well, I thought maybe I'd just talk about just the basic ingredients of beer and just a little bit about each one of those. And then we can get into talking about different types of beers.
The specifics.
Or talk about maybe the process, how you make it.
Yeah.
And then talk about the both different kinds. I know there's a lot of confusion out there about when people talk about what's an ale versus a lager and what's a pilsner.
You're going to teach me a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's hop into it. So
here he goes again.
what makes up a beer, Dad?
Okay, so you need four ingredients to make beer. Mm-hmm. It's pretty simple.
Yeah,
you need
beer,
water.
You need beer to make beer.
That's the easiest way to make it.
Oh, you just go to the store, get some Coors,
and you need one of these,
a can opener,
and then you have beer. So four basic ingredients in beer is water.
Uh-huh. Yeast,
a form of sugar.
Okay.
Now, what the form of sugar typically is a malted barley, and so it's a grain. Barley is a grain, similar to wheat.
How do you malt it?
What's that mean?
What's a malted barley?
Okay, I'm gonna talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
It's like a moth that goes in a cocoon and gets all malted.
Ew, gross.
Yeah. And then you need hops.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about what hops are.
Okay, okay.
Hops are.
I'm gonna stop interrupting. You just go.
Flavors it and makes it bitter. Can do different things. Give it aromas.
Yeah.
Can do a whole bunch of different things. And then you need yeast.
Yeah.
And if you have those four things, you can make beer.
And I'm sure that you can add stuff to it, right?
Oh yes. I mean, it's pretty much unlimited. If we start talking through about the different types of grains, different mm-hmm. types of hops, different types of yeast, it's almost unlimited what you can do. And
can you add honey to it in the batch?
In fact, the next batch I'm going to do is going to be a honey ale. I got 4 pounds of honey.
Holy crap!
That I got from a guy, a friend of mine that raises bees.
That's
to make.
We need to do an episode with him sometime.
Yeah, we
a beekeeper.
Yeah. Now we've got this portable recorder.
My buddy Irv.
Yeah. We're going to head over and do a nice little
on the site
bee podcast.
Yeah, but
it's
so you've got a bunch of honey.
That's one reason I'm amazed by bees and honey, because I went out and did that, helped them harvest the honey one time, and I was just blown away.
Yeah.
Oh, I love
bees.
They're so cool.
Did you get stung at all?
No. No, I was doing the part where the racks were already out, and we were just doing the spinning it out.
Oh, okay.
And the centrifuge thing.
Yeah.
We'd have to cover honey and veganism, too.
Yeah.
That's controversial.
It is controversial.
Yeah,
we'll get there when we get there.
Yep.
Okay, so you need those four basic ingredients, and if you just had those, you can make beer. But well, like you were saying, there's a lot of variety. So water, you know. But when I'm brewing, you just want to have some. I typically don't use tap water.
You want distilled, right?
Good. No, not distilled. Oh, just like spring water or you know, purified water, filtered water,
autumn water.
But you don't want, because if there's bacteria in the water, then that can skunk your beer, right?
It can. And
there
so,
could be an infinity war in your brewery.
So I have a well, and definitely don't want to use well water. So use good water. That's a key. you hear that a lot on beer commercials, like didn't Coors talk about the waters,
the
Rocky Mountain waters?
And exactly. Yeah.
Hams talks about land sky blue waters.
Yeah.
If, remember what? If anybody knows what Hams is, but yeah, they're all, some of them brag about their water.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. Enough about that. So let's talk about the grain. So
yeah.
Barley. So barley is the main grain that's used in brewing beer, and there are some other grains you can use. But barley is the common one, and there's different varieties. Most common ones are, there's like a two-row, there's a six-row, just is the way the head of grain grows. I usually use a two-row. It's a real common one.
Yeah.
That's a real, just a real basic.
Are they just different species, or they grow longer? Or?
They're just different forms of you know, just different varieties.
Yeah.
You know.
So I don't know if you like let them grow longer, they get a different taste
grow more rows. They're different varieties.
Okay.
They physically look different.
Yeah.
The grain's basically the same.
So how do you malt it?
So the malting. So what the malting process is. So if you got a little piece of grain, you know what it's going to do. It's going to normally, if you put it in the ground, it's going to sprout and grow, right?
Yeah.
So there's a process that it uses when it sprouts and grows, and so they take advantage of that in this malting process. So what malting is they soak the grain in warm water until the point where it starts, just a little sprout comes out. So start the onset of germination happens.
Okay.
And what happens at that point in time is these enzymes form in the grain.
Yeah.
And what these enzymes do is they convert the starch to sugar. And then right at that point, they stop it, take it out of the water, dry it out, and it shuts down that process. So you got this little kernel of barley.
Yeah.
Still has starches in it, but it has full of these enzymes that are ready to
convert
all the sugar.
So is that
and it chemically changes?
Right? Yeah. So is that like, I don't know if you know the answer to this, but is the reason it does that to like provide food for a tiny little plant to grow?
Right. So that's where it gets its energy if the plant's growing. So when it starts to sprout, those enzymes are converting the starch to sugar, and it's using that's the energy, get that sprout out and get it going until it can start taking nutrients from the ground.
Yeah. And the sun.
Right. So this malting process shuts that off. So like I said, you just got this. You don't have, there's no sugar yet. Mm-hmm. You just got this little grain.
It's all natural.
Thousands of grains, you know, but each individual grain is just full of enzymes and mm-hmm. starch.
So do you malt them yourself?
No.
They come malted?
Yeah. You buy it as a malted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to go to like a malt shop like in the 50s.
Mm-hmm. You have to time travel to go.
Yeah.
And pay a dime for a malt.
You have a malted.
You get a malted shake, hold the shake.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of malt that actually is. I suppose it's the same kind of. So if you take
No, I'm really curious, but go on.
Malted milk balls.
If you take malted barley, it tastes really good.
Yeah.
It does. It's like, it's pretty yummy. I like to just chew on it.
You hippie.
I know.
So now I'm curious, what else you got? What hops do to the process?
So remember that. That malted barley. It's sitting there and it's ready to go. It's ready to, if you do the right thing, it's going to like start making
blossom
sugar.
Blossom into a beautiful baby seed.
So we're going to talk about that when we get into the process. So,
yeah.
But that's what a malted grain is. Now, there's other grains you can use in beer that are malted. So sometimes I use rye. Oh, yeah, this has rye in it. Forgot to tell you.
Your IPA has rye.
What are we drinking right now?
So this is a
really strong IPA.
It's a really strong IPA, but it's got some rye in it.
Yeah.
Which gives it a little bit of a kind of a twang, a little bit of a spicy kind of taste.
Yeah. It helps with the rye humor. Sure.
It helps with dry humor.
Are you just gonna smell it?
It smells almost sweet.
That counts, we got him. Book them, boys.
Hang on, like it smells not like beer.
So,
it smells like...
Have you ever made Nick take a sip of beer before when he was a little kid?
No.
Maybe my older brothers.
You tried to.
Yeah, one day. If you want Nick to drink some of his father's homebrew and fulfill...
Let's get 100 patrons.
A lifelong dream. We need 100 patrons.
Yeah.
At patreon.com/flyingmachine.
Yeah. So
my glass is almost empty already.
It is, yeah. You're going to have to fill back up.
We'll switch to another.
So the other malted...
Grains. Right, so you can malt other grains like wheat.
Yeah.
So I think people are familiar with wheat beers. A famous wheat beer is Blue Moon. So Belgian white ale made as a wheat beer.
Mm-hmm.
So you can malt wheat. You can malt rye, as I said. Other grains you can't. So I've made an oatmeal stout, which I got one, John.
Cool.
Oatmeal stout here in the cooler.
Yeah.
So oatmeal, if you use you can't, they basically, it's just like rolled oatmeal, just like what you get.
Yeah.
It's processed a little bit different, but it's not malted, but it just adds some body and some smoothness.
Okay.
Same thing, you can use rice. There's a flaked rice you can use, and it makes it lighter and crisper kind of texture. So there's grains that you don't malt, but you can use as an add-in to get a certain kind of
texture, flavor,
cool. Smell. Yeah, I'm excited.
Smell. Note.
The oatmeal that he brought, it's not a liquid like you'd think. It's just like a thick...
It's just Quaker Oats instant oatmeal.
Yeah, you got to really just hit that back of that bottle.
This is
you should try this. Getting gross.
So this oatmeal stout is the favorite one I've ever made. I've made two batches of it.
Yeah,
and I gave most away to my brother-in-law Andy because he loves it. And it is so good.
It's really good. Do they have little dinosaur eggs in them that change?
My daughter has those in her oatmeal and she loves them.
Yeah. I don't know. You lost me.
The instant oatmeal, they have like dinosaur egg oatmeal.
Yeah.
They do?
Like Quaker Oats, yeah. Oh, it's just little marshmallows.
I'm out of it.
They're great. They're not
alcoholic. Rory loves them. Because Rory will count the eggs and she'll be like, clean one!
That's cute.
Yeah, she's cute. But I wouldn't give her dinosaur egg oatmeal beer. So what do hops do?
One last thing I want to say about barley.
Yeah, go for
malted barley. It's awesome. If you ever have a chance to go to a malt house, mm-hmm. So I've been to a couple brewery tours.
Yeah.
Go to the malt house. Oh my God, I just walked through there.
Does it smell good?
It's like the most amazing smell ever. It's just, it's hard to explain. It's like kind of the sweet, kind of heavy, sweet smell. It's just, it's awesome.
There's a lot of cool stuff like that around here. Yeah,
Iowa is a good place for it.
So Millstream Brewery down there, man, as I went, had a beer making class down there, and they have a malt house.
Mm-hmm.
It's full like tons of
malted wheat,
barley. Just walk through. That's awesome. Okay, that's it for malted barley.
Barley.
We're going to talk about next hops.
Yes, hops. I'm like really curious because I haven't heard anything that they add to the conversation.
No, I've been very excited about hops ever since I read Hop on Pop.
Get out.
You guys read that book?
Just get out.
Oh, before we get on, I'm going to go back to the malt again. So when we get into talking about various types of beers, there's hundreds of, I mentioned they're just, when they grow, the just certain types of barley that can grow, there may be a handful of varieties.
Yeah.
But there's a whole bunch of ways they process it. They can roast it. To get various colors. There's certain ones they grow that are red, gives you this red color.
Yeah.
There's different ways they can process. There's ones they call crystal where they malt it a little bit different where they get more of the sugar in the grain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, so isn't crystal illegal?
That's crystal meth.
Okay.
Yeah. That's not crystal beer.
All kinds of crystal.
You got a lab in your garage. You're talking about crystal. I don't know. Can you publish this?
Yeah, you got some strange equipment, Dad. You need to explain yourself.
I do have a pretty. People see me in my garage. I'm sure they're just.
They think there's the meth house.
The steam's just rolling out of the garage. Literally, it is. And people stop and look and go, "What's that guy cooking meth?"
We'll do a photo shoot after this.
No. So when we start getting into the different varieties, types of beers, just keep in mind that there's hundreds of types of malted grains out there that can be used.
So is that what distinguishes like an ale between a lager, or is that something else?
No, that's how you ferment it. So we'll talk about that.
Got it.
The whole process of which grain, well, the grains, it's the yeast and the fermenting process are different.
Okay.
But really the grains, the basic grains are the same.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about hops.
Let's do it.
So hops is a plant. It's a flowering vine.
I did not know that.
If you go and look where they're growing, places where they're growing hops, they have these trellises that are about 20 feet tall.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to have some long arms to pick them, I suppose.
Yeah.
My buddy Irv that has the bees, trying to talk him into growing hops because he has this little hop got a farm. Bunch of, it's like 50 acres.
Yeah.
And so he says he's going to.
Well,
so.
Did you say little hobby farm of 50 acres?
Yeah.
That's
a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, so he's got some grapes growing. He's got the bees going. I'm trying to get him
make
to get
some wine.
He's having trouble getting the grapes going.
Oh, that's too bad.
But he makes mead.
Yeah,
and I've had his mead, and his mead is really good.
Yeah,
but it takes a lot of honey to make mead. So he's got a lot of honey.
That's good.
He's
got infinite honey because he's got bees.
He's got 5 gallon buckets full of honey. He's got honey all over. So hops is that's the variety of plant. Like I said, the hop itself that's used in beer is the flower. Mm-hmm. So it's like the yeah, it's the flower of the vine. It looks kind of like a pine cone.
Mm-hmm.
So these the vines will grow, the flowers will come out, and you gotta, and it's a really fragile plant. So if you pick that flower of the hop, it'll be
like
a day. It'll last a day. It'll deteriorate and just be worthless after a day.
Not popular for Valentine's Day.
No.
Yeah, not that kind of flower. So it's really difficult for brewers to get fresh hops. I mean, it's like people want to do that. Mm-hmm. That's one of my things I really want to do, do a brew batch with the actual fresh hops. And there's actually a hop farm down by Solon.
Yeah.
So I got to check that out. And
Shelby's.
This is probably about the time of year that they're going to start having hops.
Yeah. Shelby's favorite, Shelby, my wife, is there's the orchard in Solon that makes her favorite cider.
Mm-hmm. Wilson's?
Yeah, Wilson's cider. She's super stoked about that. Like some blueberry or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's drinking that at our house the other day because we had some.
Yeah, and then we, on the way home, we like stopped and got some.
Yeah. That's awesome.
But
okay, so hops.
What do they do for the process?
So hops is a, you add hops to the beer, because if you didn't have anything in there to give it some flavoring, it'd be kind of bland.
Yeah.
So hops basically bitter it, give it a little bit of a, but some, even if it's just very mild, so hops, there's hundreds of varieties of hops, and they're all graded on a acidity scale of like 0 to probably 20 would be really high.
Got it.
So I brew like this one we're drinking here. I put this has Magnum hops in it, which is like 15 to 16 on the acid scale, so it's really high.
Yeah.
So it's got a couple ounces of those in there. So a typical beer will have 1 to 2 ounces of hops in it. This one has 6, so you know. So it's loaded up because I'm a hop head.
Yeah.
So I go way overboard on the hops.
They make you hoppy?
It's got like an acidic, it does make me very hoppy.
So
cool.
Donkey.
So that's what it, so the hops are important, and there's if you're just making a basic light ale, you would use like a Willamette hop or a Northern Brewer's hop, which is, they're like in a 2 to 3 on that scale, mm-hmm. pretty low, and you'd use like 1 or 2 ounces. So it just gives a little bit of, you know, flavor.
So my interesting tipsy observation of this situation.
Are you already tipsy off of one beer?
I mean, what is this, like 80% alcohol? So we did an episode a while back, do you remember, on the different varieties of plants and why they're only like 30 at the grocery store when there's thousands of plants? I think hops got off lucky because of beer.
Right. Because
there's hundreds of varieties. And it's kind of like
it'd be worthless. It'd be like it's like growing in the ditch. You'd like spray them and kill them if they have them useful.
Well, we did that with a lot of plants over time. We've done that with a lot of vegetables and like probably like varieties of pepper and carrots and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's, you know, humans like what they like. So we did that with dogs. We breeded dogs in certain ways. And it's the same thing with hops, it seems, because there's so many varieties of beer.
Yeah. Good for hops.
Yep. Yeah, I think so. Hops have been around forever. They grow, they grow all over the country, different varieties in different places. Like in Europe, you know. So you know, probably know that
I've heard of Europe.
Like in Germany, beer is really big in Germany and Belgium,
really?
Places like that.
And Ireland,
And so they have, the hops are different over there. So they have different. There's certain varieties that they use, and like that only they'll use. They wouldn't use Magnum hops because you know. But they're a little more serious about their beers, not too experimental. They're just like,
this is how you make beer.
This is how you make beer.
I've seen commercials.
Yeah, in fact, I think there was laws in Germany for a while about you could only use those 4 ingredients.
That,
if you deviated, you were banished. You could not market your beer.
There's like interesting rules in European countries. Like if you have, you can only make, you classify something as pizza if it has certain ingredients or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like random stuff like that.
I wonder if it's like cultural preservation.
I think so.
For tradition. So, for example, something that I was going to, I'd start talking about a little bit, but I was like, nope, I'm going to save it for the episode.
Yeah.
My family, when they moved here, my last name is Beegan, which is German. Yeah, I do say that at the beginning of every episode.
Oh, I don't listen.
I had my great-great-grandfather move here.
Uh-huh. You had him? You had him.
I had him.
You traveled back in time and you said,
back in time, I said,
great-grandpa,
pull the gun. Get over to the Americas.
And he's like, what is a gun? I don't know what accent that was.
North, please. Yeah, so he moved here and they opened Beegan Brewery. And we had Beegan beer for a little bit. There's like three bottles left in existence because he's since sold it to a major corporation. It's like owned by Coors or something at this point.
Where was that?
I think they first moved to New York. So it was like upstate in the Catskills. They still have a little house up there.
Wow.
But yeah, they had this nice little brewery. They had lots of barrels, which means that it probably tasted really good.
Yeah.
Nice little, at least it looked cool.
Yeah. But, they got different technology now.
There was Beegan beer for a little bit and... There's still some printed bottles that exist. But that was the first way that they had started. They took their recipe over on a little piece of paper on a boat and moved to America.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. There's a big demand for beer in a new country. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there was not a lot of Netflix. At least if there was, there wasn't much on it yet.
No. It was like, I don't know, it was still in the DVD delivery service back then.
Yeah, you had to opt in and that was extra.
And it was mostly just like chick flicks.
Right.
Starring Matthew McConaughey.
So I think, I'll bet you early 1900s, before Prohibition, you know, that was probably a real common thing. People coming over, the immigrants, and, you know, they needed to trade. So it's like they had their family trade, making beer. So it's like, it's like what's happening now is like a resurgence of that. But every other person was probably brewing beer back then.
Yeah.
You know, because,
And then especially during the Prohibition.
Especially during Prohibition. Yeah. Had to be a little more careful.
Yeah. And moonshine and all that.
Yep.
Lots of prohibition cocktails. What a stupid thing that was.
I know. Well, we can get into the drug war.
Yeah, we can talk about marijuana prohibition.
Just watch the Untouchables and you'll know how screwed up prohibition was.
So we covered water, we covered hops.
We covered barley. What about yeast? Is there any
yeast.
Varieties of yeast?
It's my favorite topic.
All right, let's talk about
it. Because it's a miracle of nature.
Yeah. Because it makes alcohol.
It does.
Does the yeast get drunk while it makes alcohol?
You know, I don't know. I don't think it has a brain.
So when
yeast are in... It at least has a nucleus, so I gotta look this up now. You keep talking.
So yeast. Yeast has been around forever. There's a billion different varieties. That's probably an exaggeration.
I doubt it.
But yeast is a one-celled organism. It's classified as a fungus. But it is what it does. We've talked about what it does. It's pretty amazing. Why an organism like that ever evolved, I don't know. Probably because to give us alcoholic beverages one day.
They were very forward thinking on that one.
So it makes ethanol, you know, and so it's the process they use to make, you know, ethanol that goes in gas. It's the same thing. Yeah. So it makes
our cars drive, our bread grow. Yeah.
So they ferment,
which is ironic.
Ferment corn.
Don't drink and drive.
You know, if you go by ADM out there in that giant steam plume, you know, they're making ethanol out of corn out there. And so same thing. So ethanol is good. Ethanol is a good alcohol. There's other kinds of alcohol that'll, you know, make you blind. like, you know, mineral spirits and wood alcohol and stuff are poisonous, but ethanol is good for you.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good to go in drinks. Yep.
So folks, go and drink gasoline.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can just go down to the Casey's down the street and start pumping that into me.
They don't want you to drink it because they don't want you to
know. So you know what they do? This is a tangent.
Yeah.
I like doing tangents. So like
we would never do that on our other show.
Railroad tanker cars full of ethanol. It's like, you know, you think people run up there like, hey, man, I'm going to fill up my, you know, my jug moonshine.
Yeah.
You know, so they denature it. And by denature, they'll take the... You know, the 10,000 gallons of ethanol, and they'll put like 5 gallons of gasoline in it.
Yeah.
So it's called denatured.
Those bastards.
It's undrinkable. Yeah. It doesn't taste good.
That's too bad.
I don't know what the proportion is, but they denature it. So all you people out there, don't try to go fill up your milk jug out of the railroad car because it's denatured. It's not good. It's not
that sounds similar to Prohibition. Didn't they do something similar to alcohol to try to ban it?
They poisoned some alcohol back then.
Did they really?
Yeah.
They put like wood.
That was like some conspiracy theory that came true.
Methanol is wood alcohol.
Maybe.
And,
yeah,
You know, you have heard stories about people going blind, getting brain damage and stuff. Yeah. They drink that wood alcohol. Is like,
yeah. Oh. I wouldn't mess with that.
No.
But I would mess with yeast. So I have a question on yeast.
Okay.
Is that what gives it more alcohol content if you let it like eat the sugars more?
Well, yeah, so there's so much to say about yeast, but there's a whole bunch of, so we talked about, you know, way back when, thousands of years ago, with the wild yeast, natural yeast all over the place,
all
with ferment
arms.
Stuff, and there's still guys out there that are brewing beer with wild yeast.
Yeah.
This group of guys I'm working with now, they're one guy's experimenting with. He'll just put it in the fermenter and then see what happens. It's like, man, that's because you don't know what you're gonna get.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like the kind of yeast will. There's yeast out there that will make like vinegar instead of alcohol
or oils.
I think they maybe make alcohol, but then they actually eat the alcohol somehow turns to vinegar. So
gross.
I've had some.
Why would you want that?
I've actually had some batches of beer go bad, and it tastes like vinegar.
Mm.
It's bad. It's bad news. But yeah, some of these guys are brave. They just kind of want to see what happens. Mm-hmm. They're kind of doing like maybe it's like the old, really old style of brewing where they just want say, hey, let's see what I get on the back of the barn.
Yeah.
You know, and modern brewers, there's yeast. There's certain select strains of yeast that are made just for beer brewing.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of varieties. But there is a difference. So we're going to talk about ales and lagers.
Yeah.
Because they're two different fermenting styles, mm-hmm. two different brewing styles. Ales probably being more common because they're easier. Lagers are more difficult, and we'll talk about why. But there's different types of yeast I'll just say the lagering is fermented and aged at lower temperatures, below 55 degrees, I think. And ales are basically a room temperature
fermentation. That gives it a different flavor, or
it's different in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Humans like getting drunk, huh?
Yeah, they do. They'll find many ways to get drunk.
Degrees. Yeah, but what yeast do? So there is that basic process that we talked about. So they do make the part you got to be careful about with the carbon dioxide is like when you don't want to blow up your
your basement.
I did blow up my fermenting bucket one time because
like mom kicked you out to the garage.
The airlock got plugged up because it was foaming up so bad, and the CO2, you got to vent the CO2 off. So it makes CO2 and alcohol. But
that's the yeast you're talking about, right?
The yeast.
Just to back up, the yeast will eat the sugars and then it turns that into alcohol and CO2.
So basically what you do in the process is I'll have like a 5-gallon batch, and mm-hmm. when you get ready to ferment it, you put in just a little bit of yeast. So it's like maybe an ounce mm-hmm. of yeast, and you can use, there's different types, dry or liquid. Typically use a liquid because it gets going a little bit faster. But
yeah.
So it'll get in there, and when you get in, you whisk it up and get a lot of oxygen in there because there's a phase where it like activates the yeast, where they get oxygen, and it kind of like brings them to... like activates them, brings them to life or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they go to work. And then they're just throughout the whole solution. So they'll just start eating the sugar and then making the alcohol and CO2. Mm-hmm. And so, but that's the basic process. But they also, different types of yeast, they put off these, they call them esters. So these other chemical compounds that basically give it like flavoring. So there's certain types of yeast that will give like fruity flavors, like there's like
weird,
like grapefruit or banana.
What
type flavors?
That's awesome.
I never knew that. That's crazy.
There's a personal one that I'm working on. So there's some yeast in bread. Like that's like common knowledge. So what I do is I take some garlic breadsticks from Pizza Hut.
You want a garlic beer?
And I breathe on them with my CO2, and then I throw it in a blender to make it liquid. So you got your CO2 and your yeast, and then. Boom, magic.
That's the wrong direction.
What was that, Nick? Nothing. Are you a brewer? Are you the expert?
Oh. No, you're right. Sorry.
Okay. So you want to get drunk when you eat bread.
Yeah, you just got to breathe on it enough.
Oh, okay.
You need the CO2 and the yeast together.
What's what, you know, when you put yeast in bread and it rises, that's what's making it rise.
Is that CO2?
It's like it's off-gassing.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's probably making a little bit of alcohol, but then it gases right off. It evaporates off.
Because the CO2 is not there. So that's why if you breathe on breadsticks, you will get drunk.
I don't think you understand how this
works. Nick, this is how chemicals work.
Oh, okay. I'll ask Justin.
Wow. Hey, our glasses are empty.
I know.
We've got some breadsticks after this.
Gross. So are you saying you need more beer?
Yeah, we could do some.
What do you think? John's trying the oatmeal stout now. Mm-hmm. And
refueled.
It has a lot of... It's pretty black.
Yeah,
and it's got a head. It's got a pretty good head on there, a really thick, frothy,
it smells awful.
Brown head, and that really the oatmeal gives you that body, and
it reminds me of
texture,
Modelo Negro or something.
Do you need a spoon?
Really looks like a root beer float.
Oh, yeah. this is absolutely one of my favorite beers I've done.
Really good.
I should do another batch. It's a good one.
Well, speaking of doing another batch, what's the process? What's the condensed process of making beer?
Okay, so how much time we got?
We've been going for a really long time.
Okay.
So condense it as much as you can.
Yeah, I'm trying to give a scaled down version. So there's different approaches to doing brewing. So if you're a beginning brewer, you can start out with extract brewing, where you get
that's one process.
where you can basically get your malted barley sugar in a syrup. It's already processed.
Yeah.
And so you can just put that in water and boil it with your hops and then, you know, and then ferment that. So
that's the lazy version.
I started out. I started out with a Mr. Beer kit, made two 2 gallon batches. So I did that for a while and then just kind of advanced from there. And so extract brewing, that's what extract brewing is. They've already processed you basically get the sugar syrup and it's very easy to do.
You made that in like a 1 gallon barrel though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like
2 gallons.
Super tiny, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then you can move up to kind of intermediate. You can use partial grains. I kind of moved up to that where you would use maybe 2 pounds, 5 pounds of grain, and you would extract the sugar out of that. I'll talk about that. And then maybe use some extract as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's full grain brewing, which is what I'm doing now.
It's like expert mode.
It is. So that's the kind of the advanced.
Because I've seen some of the equipment, and it's like you got like a hydrometer or something.
Yeah.
A speedometer.
Ten and a half gallon boil kettle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the basic process. I'm going to talk about the grain process because that kind of goes through the whole how you actually process and get the sugar out of it. So what you start with is I'll just say a 10 pound bag of malted barley.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I get it, I get it over at the brew it yourself store over in Marion.
Yeah.
And you have to get it cracked. So they'll basically mill it for you, which splits the grain. So that's a critical
part of the
process.
It's like the malted part? Right.
Well, no. So you have the malted barley grains.
Oh, okay.
And then when you mill it, they basically just run it through a little roller and it cracks that grain. Because otherwise it's all sealed up. It's like
this thing
ready to like grow.
It's
right?
Like pop the popcorn.
So it cracks it and that lets the water get in there. So,
yeah.
So you mill the grain and so you take your, it's called a mash tun. T-U-N, mash tun.
Someone just made that up.
And you put there's a ratio of water to grain weight that you put in there. So you heat the water up to 170 degrees. And then you put your, I'm just going to say 10 pounds of grain in there.
Yeah.
It depends on your recipe. I'll just say 10 pounds. And then you stir it in. And then you let that set. So at 150 degrees. So if you bring your water temperature up to 170, stir your grain in. It's at about 150 degrees. And you let it sit there for an hour.
Yeah.
Over the course of this hour is when the magic happens.
The alcohol happens?
No.
Oh. Dang it.
Sugar happens.
Oh,
yeah.
So the enzymes in the grain, so the grain is cracked, it's milled, and the water soaks into the kernel, and the enzymes say, warm water, go, and they convert all that starch to sugar.
Yeah.
It's sometimes amazing. You got to throw it in a hot tub if you want to make the magic happen.
Well, you could do that.
Put on some...
You could do that
what's
while
the saxophone player.
Yanni.
You have an hour.
You
got to kill an hour somehow.
Gross. I don't even know about that. My dad can't talk like
Michael
that.
Michael Bolton. Hey, thank you for making Nick, by the way. I appreciate him.
He's awesome, isn't he?
Yeah, he's pretty good, I guess.
Yeah.
He's helping me become famous.
Dude, my glass is empty again. I had a little bit of that stout. I'm gonna be as quiet as I can.
Yeah.
We keep talking, though. Okay, you let it sit there at 150 degree water for an hour.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of hard to believe that this conversion happens that fast, but it does. So what happens is all those starches in the kernels are converted to sugar, and it's just sitting there in this mash. It's a mashing process.
Yeah.
You heard that.
Yeah, you've
told
me about
that. It's kind of a common term. So,
is that the one that smells like bread?
This part of the process smells really good. I love it. I absolutely love it. It's makes the house smell really good.
Yeah, it smells like when you're making bread in a bread maker.
It does.
Cool. Because you had it in the trash once and the whole house smelled like bread.
Yeah, that's a great comparison. Yeah. That's what it smells like. It's really good. Like really good aroma.
Yeah.
And then you do, the next part of the process is sparging. So this is, you're rinsing, going to rinse all the sugar and the sugar water out of the grain.
Mm-hmm.
So this process takes about an hour. So what you do is you have another kettle of hot water. It's called hot liquor tank.
Yeah.
And it's just hot water. And it's also at about 150, 160 degrees. You don't want it too hot. If it gets too hot, it starts bringing the they call it tannins. It's like the nasty stuff out of the holes of the grain.
Oh, okay.
Which doesn't taste good and doesn't look good. So you gotta control your temperature. So about 150 degrees. So you have that volume of water, and this mash tune that I talked about has, so you got your mash in there and it's got a little spigot on the bottom. So you crack the spigot open, and you're draining that into another big kettle,
yeah,
and the boil kettle. And then over the course of this hour, you just kind of slowly add this hot water,
yeah,
and just kind of at a rate where over an hour, it'll kind of, you just keep about 1 or 2 inches of water above the grain bed, let that water rinse out, and that just rinses all the sugar water out.
Hmm.
And you end up in your boil kettle when you're done with some nice, sweet wort.
Yeah, so that's
they call it. It's called wort. Wort. That's your.
Is it barley that's been converted to sugars?
It's sugar water. That's it? It's sugar water. Is
sugar
it is.
Water.
Sugar water. And sugar it's nice, water. And it is sweet. It tastes really good.
He's making a Men in Black reference. Yeah. Just for our audience out there.
Sugar water.
The guy, like, really? This bug alien comes down, takes over a dude, and all he wants is sugar water.
Sugar water.
Oh,
really?
What you're talking about now?
Okay.
Okay. So now you got this. Big kettle of about 8 gallons of wort in it, and then you do your boil as the next part of the process. So,
mm-hmm. I mean, how much do you think that's wort?
Stop! Stop!
It's wort a lot for me.
It's wort like that. It turns into beer. It's wort a lot. So
it's pretty good. So you gotta have a really big boil kettle. So we got a 10.5 gallon kettle. Uh-huh. It's a pretty big pot.
Yeah.
So I put it on my burner, and then you start your boil. And the boil process is where you boil the hops in.
Mm-hmm.
So this is so you get your boil going.
Is with the sugar water still?
You take your sugar water. So like typically I end up, like I said, with 8 gallons.
Yeah.
And your target is about 5.5 or 6. So when you boil it, you got to boil it down. You know, so I usually will boil for, they tell you an hour, but usually I do it for, it takes me a couple hours to get it down to the volume I need to get into the fermenting bucket.
Yeah.
But over the boil, this is the boil is where you add the hops. So hops typically, like I was saying, it's really hard to get fresh ones. But
do what you can.
You use processed ones. So you buy them. They're in like these little pellets. So you just dump them in there and just let them boil. And what happens with the, so hops have have oils in them.
Mm-hmm.
This acidic oil, and when you boil, what it does is it breaks down these oils and it goes into solution, so it just doesn't float on the top. So that's why you boil it. You got to break down the oils, get it in, so it just becomes part of the solution.
Yeah, I figure what that process is called, but I know exactly what you're talking about. You raise up the certain temperature and all that.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you do this nice boil, and you based on type of beer and the type of hops you're using, you'll put them in at different stages over time.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some they call for aroma that you'll put in like right at the last minute, and then you'll shut it off, and then that gives you more smell than taste. So there's kind of a different approaches you can use for that. That's the boil part, and then you cool it down, and you can either, I've used various methods of sticking the pot in a snowbank. but now I got a cooling coil that run water through, will cool it down in about 5 minutes. Now, after you boil it, the critical part from when you start cooling it down is everything has to be sanitized and clean.
Right, completely sterile.
Otherwise, you're going to get bacteria in there. You're going to blow up bottles and waste your... So you have to...
Bad batch.
So you use a sterilizing cleaner for a bucket, so it's like a 6 gallon bucket used for fermenting. So that's all cleaned and sterilized. The bucket's ready. You cool down your your boiled batch,
mm-hmm.
and then you pour it into the bucket, and then so it's now at a nice like 70, 80 degrees, this cool temperature, and then you add your yeast.
Yeah, and that's where the alcohol happens.
Whisk your yeast in, slap the lid on there, put a little airlock on there because a little S trap thing.
Yep,
it's like in the bottom of your sink.
Yep.
To let the gas out, but doesn't let anything back in. And I always fill that up with vodka because sometimes it'll suck if you get some nasty. Gets nasty in there. You can get some nasty stuff in that trap, and sometimes it'll suck back in. So I fill it with vodka, a little trick I learned from some fellow brewers. So if it sucks the vodka in, doesn't hurt anything.
Yeah.
Keeps everything nice and clean and sanitary. And then you let it ferment. So then here's where the magic happens.
Right.
The real magic happens.
The second magic.
So
Magic Mike 2 XXL.
Typically, if it's just a batch like this, which is a strong, high sugar, we really want to ferment it out. I'll let it go for about 2 weeks in the fermenter. And then I'll transfer it to a secondary, which is another bottle. And then you can let it sit in the secondary for as long as you want.
Mm-hmm.
And the secondary, the nice thing is that everything settles out real nice.
Yeah.
And this is about as clear as it gets. We didn't talk about this, but this is unfiltered beer. It's pretty opaque.
What's that one?
Huh? This is the IPA again.
Okay. That's the red one.
Rye IPA. But it's got a nice color, it's, you don't really have to filter it because everything, if you leave it in the fermenter long enough, everything settles to the bottom.
Yeah.
And you siphon it when you get ready to bottle, or a lot of people keg, I still bottle, but you just siphon it out and bottle after a couple weeks.
Yeah.
It's all settled out and looks
good.
There
you go.
Cool.
Bada bing, bada boom.
During this process, there's a lot of heating up. Do you think that hot beer has ever been a thing? Why did we decide cold?
I think in England, don't they have warm beer?
I think they do.
Yeah.
Some beers you can drink.
Like butter beer is warm.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds disgusting.
That's not pretty good.
I was desperate the other day, so I was out in my garage.
Oh, no.
I looked over there, and over by my bottles, there was this six-pack of Leinenkugel's Oktoberfest.
Yeah. How long has it been there?
Quite a while, but, it's like summertime, right? It's like, I'm really thirsty. So I had one. It was good.
Warm?
Yeah.
It was warm.
It was like outdoor room, like 70 degree
temperature. Yeah.
I've done that. Yeah.
I enjoyed it. It was nothing.
Desperation.
I don't think I would drink a Coors Light that way.
Yeah.
Also, I think I would gag you.
Beer's not really good for when you're thirsty, huh? Like, it kind of dehydrates you a little bit, but I get it.
So I think the last thing I want to talk about is, I think people might want to know, a common question is, what's the difference between ales and lagers?
Yeah, let's walk through that.
Cool. There's two basic types. Those are your two basic types of beers. So I brew ales because they're easy.
Mm-hmm.
They can be complicated, but ales are easy because up to this fermenting process I talked about, where you put it in the bucket, you just like set it in the corner. It's ferments at room temperature, basically above
70.
55 or 60 degrees.
Yeah,
it's because of the type of yeast. And like ales were what was made like forever back,
because they didn't have fridges.
Right. So the lagers really didn't come into play really until refrigeration because...
In cold climates too.
And they found strains of yeast that would ferment at lower temperatures. So,
so I wonder if that has to do with India Pale Ale. Did this start in India and it was hot there? And then...
Yeah, well, on a boat it would be room temperature.
Right.
So did lagers come from like the north?
England was shipping the beer to India.
Okay.
So it would be going over tropical seas.
Yes, it would be hot.
Yeah.
There you go. They probably infected it culturally.
Do you think they were drinking it when it was hot?
I mean...
I think they did the same process where you're talking about. They'd add something bitter to it so people wouldn't steal it, right?
No, the hops were for preservative.
They wouldn't be drinking it on the boat.
No.
Because they would add something to it so pirates wouldn't steal it, right?
No, that would ruin the beer, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they didn't have the ability to remove anything like that.
Yeah,
that was just on trains, modern times.
I don't, whatever.
They had muskets.
No, anyway, pirates would keep going.
So lagers came in to, really came in, I think, around in early 1900s.
Yeah.
And the real difference, so lagers are different in that they're, I'll just kind of generalize, they're lighter, crisper, and cleaner.
Yeah,
They don't look like this.
They're not so opaque like that, or the oatmeal that's completely black.
When I'm drinking oil.
Yeah,
and they had to basically find or derive strains of yeast that could ferment below 55 degrees.
Yeah.
Typically, they fermented it, I think, about 50 degrees. And then that's the fermenting process. So it ferments when it's cold. And then the lagering is actually an aging process. So that's what lagering is. It's aging. Mm-hmm. So they ferment it, then they age it at 40 degrees.
Yeah.
And the advantage here is a couple things. It makes a cleaner,
there's less particulate or something.
Beer. Yeah, it's the fermentation process is a lot cleaner, so everything tends to settle out more.
Yeah.
And then after that lagering process, they can immediately bottle it and sell it. Typically, ales like this, so this one's been aging for about 4 months, which is about, for a stronger beer, you want an ale.
Yeah.
You want to bottle it, and then you want to let it set in and age the room temperature. And
yeah, it's just learning about peripheral vision.
It's got to be old enough to drink.
Yeah. Hey-o!
So that actually, the flavors tend to combine and get a little more palatable.
Yeah.
Because I've taste tested some of my beers at like 2 weeks out. And it chokes you. And then you drink them like 6 months later. It's like, they're perfectly fine. This is good.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, so it makes a big difference on the ales. You got to... The stronger they are, higher alcohol content, you got to let them, like if you're up around 10%, you really need to be letting them age about 6-8 months.
That's a cool hobby that teaches you.
Like, patience.
If you can have a hobby that teaches you patience, that's awesome.
Yeah,
it is. That's the thing about alcohol content is, so about the highest I've ever been able to get is close to 10%, like 9.8%.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like the first one we had that made my jokes better.
And it's really expensive.
From your perspective.
It's very expensive. It takes a lot of grain. It takes a lot of sugar. It takes a lot of ingredients.
Yeah.
It's very expensive. That's the thing about homebrewing is that people don't do it because it's cheap.
Yeah.
Because it's not cheap.
Right.
So you like,
to,
this, like this
well,
batch,
if you want to get advanced, you got to get all that fancy equipment that makes it look like you're doing math.
Oh, you just don't count that. that's just investment cost.
Oh, okay.
So, but if you just count ingredients, so like this batch here, for example, let me just talk about this rye IPA I made. It's got quite a bit of ingredients in it. It makes a 5 gallon batch makes almost 2 cases, just a little bit short of 2 cases. But it's about $60 to do this batch, just for ingredients.
Damn.
For how many bottles?
48.
Have you heard of PBR? So, all right. We've got...
Otherwise known as water.
That's true.
Same as water.
You get hydrated.
I like PBR, though, once in a while. I have one.
Yeah, it's nice very popular in Boston.
Low stakes beer.
So we learned about how it's made. We learned about the ingredients individually.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then we have some Facebook questions that we should go over.
I think that you've answered most of them.
Yeah.
Most of it was like about the process and the different types of beer.
We could take a look real quick because I think there was a couple of things in there that are pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to take a quick break and then we'll come back and make sure we've answered all those questions?
We can do that.
Let's do that.
All right.
John's glass is almost empty.
Yeah. I'm going to need a refill and a bathroom break.
Don't break the seal. Hey, John, where can people find us?
They can find us, which is you and me, at StrangerSlowShow.com.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram. /StrangerSlowShow.
Leave us a review on iTunes and all that stuff. You are going to be on Falling in Love Montage next week.
That's right. You are on this week, and I didn't even tell you. I listened to it. It's incredible.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We watched...
Helen and Valerie are such sweethearts.
I know. We watched Ghost of Girlfriends Past, and you're watching Fool's Gold from Matthew McConaughey. Mm-hmm. So go listen to us guesting separately. Like, we're not together for once. It's weird.
Yeah.
So go listen to those. It'll be fantastic. Dad, you have a podcast of your own, I heard.
I do over in Cartoon Land. Yeah.
So what's this podcast about that you do?
It's a generational cartoon, Hanna-Barbera cartoon review show.
Yeah.
With you and me.
Oh.
We talk about...
I'm on that. Oh, I didn't...
Yeah, it's you and me.
I forgot.
Yeah. And so we're talking about...
Funky Phantom. Next week is what's I hated it. I already forgot.
Amazing Chan and the Chan Clan.
Yeah, here's a little spoiler: the Amazing Chan is the worst reviewed cartoon on our show so far.
Nobody's gonna listen now.
No, it's awesome. I get so mad. It's
I heard
great.
A rumor
you do.
That
it's hard to get
Jackie
Nick mad.
Chan, so
that's wrong.
That would be so much better.
It would.
Listen to find out.
Didn't even think about that.
Yeah. No, Jackie Chan does have his own cartoon that was on Warner Brothers.
Does he?
It was, what was it called?
The Chant Clan.
No, no.
Maybe.
Okay, whatever. Some, one of our listeners is going to know, and I'm going to feel stupid.
14 kids.
Yeah. As far as Facebook questions go, we answered most of them. Jason Lee and Devin.
Not the Scientology Jason Lee.
No. Yeah. our super fan Jason Lee and Devin Troub of Streamer's Guide to the Galaxy. Is that the name of this podcast?
Is super fan a negative connotation, or is he super and also a fan?
I don't think it's negative. He's super and a fan.
Okay, cool.
He's awesome. They basically, we kind of talked a little bit about it, but they kind of wanted to know like the differences between types of beer. You've already talked about ales and lagers, but then we've got...
kind of a breakdown in each one of those
right,
types.
We've got IPAs.
Yeah, so like if you're lagers,
Pilsners,
it's a little more limited. You know, lagers are like, lagers will be like a Pilsner or yeah. a Bock or an Oktoberfest.
Limited to...
There's not as many lager styles.
Like limited cell?
Stop yeah, it. I'm trying to shoehorn that
in.
Yeah, we're plugging that, I guess.
Yeah.
Ales, a lot more ales out there. So if you're looking for India Pale Ales, there's brown ales. There's things like stouts are ales.
So
porters
like,
are ales.
What's the differences between those?
So some people don't know what difference between stouts and porters are. So
yeah.
So I'll tell you. So a stout is used the barley used is roasted barley. So they roast the grain. So like a Guinness, the famous one. I was at the Guinness Brewery and they use one
in Ireland.
Use one type of grain and they roast it and then they brew it and gives it the color. Porters, on the other hand, so porters are like a stout, but they use a natural grain, a naturally dark grain, not roasted. Because roasting gives it a certain flavor.
Yeah.
So porters just use a natural dark.
They just pluck it and put it in.
Barley.
It. Yep.
Vegan fun facts. Then they put it in like a fish bladder or something gross. So Guinness is not vegan.
Really?
Yeah. They do something with seafood. Have you heard that? Did they talk about that during the trip?
No.
They didn't? Is
no.
that just some kind of weird
It might
myth?
Be a rumor.
No, it didn't come up on the tour at all.
Maybe
but
I'm
not
secret.
Saying it's not
true. I'm Googling this.
But there's, you can go down the list, there's English ales, there's Irish ales, there's Scottish ales. Hey, Scottish ales are kind of weird because they put like their smoke in them.
Yeah,
hey,
little kilts.
I have this Irish red ale here. It's got Irish moss in it. That makes me want to try it now.
Fill it up.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh man. So I got a Grolsch bottle here.
Yeah.
16 ounce.
Holy crap.
John's ready to go. I'm curious to see what he says because I didn't think this tasted very good until I went to Ireland and I drank their beer. It's like, dude, my beer tastes just like that.
Yeah.
Awesome. I was pretty happy. It just tastes different. The ales. Ales, a lot more ale styles than lager styles.
Yeah.
So we're going to pause and we're going to learn
about fish
Guinness
bladders.
Yeah.
So apparently a lot of brewers, not just Guinness, use fish bladders for, I guess, some sort of filtration process or something.
Really?
It says... for filtering the cask beers. I don't know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
But Guinness is eliminating fish guts from production, this article says. So,
yeah.
Jeez, John,
was this
you're
from?
Right.
Yep. This was from 2017.
Yep.
Guinness is going vegan, so you might be safe now.
Yeah, there's been a request for Guinness to go vegan for a long time.
Yeah.
But all the people that are requesting Guinness to go vegan are hypocrites because they know what it tastes like. So.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I don't like Guinness.
I do have another question for you, just to round things out.
Okay.
Because we've been going for a really long time.
Yeah, let's open this guy up.
Yeah.
While you're doing that.
Okay, so, yeah. Jason. Jason Lee wanted to. He had kind of a limited cell related question, and I'm going to transform it a little bit. If you could have a drink with any fictional character, who would it be, and what kind of beer would you serve them?
Oh, look at that! Oh man,
wonderful.
What kind of beer is this?
This is the Irish Red Ale.
Okay.
So this has been aging
authentic.
For a year. I made this
a year?
January a year ago.
Wow.
So I'm curious what you think about this one.
Yeah. You better like it.
Yeah, no pressure.
that looks. If you don't, I don't care. You can tell because beer is one of those things. It's like I'm not offended because people's tastes are different.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, well, I have to say there's not very many beers that I've drank that I have to say I don't like. Pretty much like them all.
Unless they're brewed with fish bladders.
Yeah.
Like, who figured that out?
Idiot.
A gross thing.
No, I knew there was a reason I didn't like Guinness.
Fish bladders?
You know what the biggest rage right now is these sour beers. You heard of sour beers? Where they, a bunch of my brewing friends are making sour beers, and I've tried them, and it's like, it kind of tastes like wine. I mean, it's not like, it's dry. It's more of a wine taste. But they basically put a bacteria in it to get it, like, make it sour.
It's That's
like,
good.
That way, you like that?
Mm-hmm. Have you had it?
Yeah.
Okay.
You just want to make sure.
I haven't had it. I haven't had one in probably 6 or 8 months.
I mean, there's some left. I'll let you have the rest.
I know. I'm going to try it. I want to see what it tastes like. I got 4 more of those bottles left.
Jeez.
Oh, my God.
I'll give you a couple.
Heck yeah.
Do you have to ask twice?
No.
As long as you didn't use a fish bladder.
I know. I don't use fish bladders.
Yeah.
Man, that's weird that they don't advertise that at
all. How big is a fish bladder that you're going to...
Like, depends on the fish. If it's like a sunfish, it's going to be like this big.
So that's just so wrong. You know. So I suppose they don't tell you that on the Guinness tour because it would gross people out.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But so like that oatmeal stout we've had. So that's like, to me, that's nothing like a Guinness. Guinness is like dry and it's just kind of like, what's the fascination here? Mm-hmm. It just doesn't, I don't like it.
I haven't had it in so long, I don't remember because I need the fish bladder
back. Yeah. It's, I don't like it. Yeah. A lot of people do like it, but. I had one when I was in Ireland, but I was on a quest in Ireland to drink every Irish beer I could find. It was a big challenge.
Yeah.
I failed.
Oh.
Came close.
Hey. It's about the journey, not the destination.
Had a lot of late nights in pubs, but I didn't quite pull it off.
There's a lot of marketing too, because isn't there, what's Australian for beer?
Foster's.
Foster's? Foster. They don't have Foster's in Australia.
Really?
Yeah.
It's an export, huh?
It's just like...
Or it's probably made here.
It's American racist.
Yeah.
I suppose it is. Yes, I think it is. It's made by like either Miller or Coors, right? Yeah. One of the big... They own
don't know what it
now.
Is there.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we do got to wrap stuff up. So I want to know, if you got to sit down with any fictional character, have a beer, who would it be and what kind of beer would you give them?
I'm going to go with the man with no name, Blondie, from the Clint Eastwood movies.
Yeah.
Only because I watched them all last week. And they drink a lot in those movies.
Yeah.
I was just trying to think about, what if I watch where they're drinking? Although they're drinking whiskey.
Yeah.
Not really drinking beer.
I would just
sit down and just with basic blonde ale with Blondie.
Yeah.
Have a nice cold one at the at the bar.
Semi-cold.
Yeah. How do they have cold? They always pour you cold beers in those westerns. It's like
probably they have something underground.
I think so, but that would be
with Trinity from Trinity's.
I would.
Because he would put you to shame.
Those guys are hammering them down. I would go with that too. That's pretty good.
Can I also say I wanted to say this earlier and I completely forgot that I'm incredibly impressed by your knowledge of beer because you brought. Like a homebrewer book, you brought several pages of notes in a notebook.
This is my recipe book.
You haven't even opened it once.
No, I know.
You just know all this stuff.
Yeah. In my head. So I should say that I did bring my recipe book.
Yeah.
Which I do log everything that I do, and I have. I make up my own recipes now. Yeah. A lot of them are variations. Like this last one I did. This was like a Furious, Surly Furious. I kind of used their basic recipe.
Yeah.
But I added some things, like I did the rye, and I did some different things with the yeast. But I make up my own recipes, but I log all the ingredients, all the temperatures and the times and everything, just so I can be
in case
consistent.
You want to do it again.
So yeah,
yep.
So repeat like the oatmeal stout. I'm gonna do it for the third time. I don't want to do anything different because if it works,
it's perfect.
Oh yeah,
it's great.
Don't want to change it.
Yeah.
But I do a lot of experimentation, which is fun.
Yeah.
So have you come up with names for them?
Like this one. This one's just basically a rye IPA, I call it.
Okay. You got to come up with funky names.
Because it's an IPA recipe, and I put some 2 pounds of rye in it.
So if you were to make a Stranger Still Stout.
Oh, this is a good question.
I would very much like to know what would be in it.
Well, how would you make a Stranger Still brew?
Got to be very
or limited cell brew.
You'd have to have something pretty strange about it. So.
Yeah.
Maybe
rose petals.
Make it in a fish bladder.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'd have Don't to talk that. About it, but it's something we could come up with something that was unique.
All right.
But, yeah.
Essential oils.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Gross. All right. Well, we do got to wrap it up for today. Thanks for joining us, Dad.
Hey, yeah. It's been
kind
fun.
Of a last minute thing, but. Yeah. You certainly had quite the knowledge base.
You could just tap me and I can just show up and talk
about
this
beer.
So real quick, I do want to hear your answer to the fictional character and drink. I mean, it doesn't have to be alcoholic.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Oh, I was just presenting it to my dad.
What?
You know my answer would be Shaggy Rogers from Scooby-Doo.
And what would you drink with him? Monster or Dr. Pepper?
We'd probably just go to a malt shop and I'd have like a chocolate shake with him or something.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, a malted shop. Well, what about you, John?
I would go with Toshiro Mifune, who's a very famous Japanese actor. From Yojimbo.
Yeah.
And I would probably drink some sake with a dude.
I don't know what that is.
Sake?
No, what the... Oh,
Toshiro? He's a cool dude. You ever hear of Fistful of Dollars?
Yeah.
Clint Eastwood?
Well, I just watched that the other day.
You did?
Yes.
That movie was based off of Yojimbo, which was starring this Japanese actor. It's based off a samurai movie.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. You know, I did see that at the credits when I was watching that.
There you go.
Yeah. They did say that. I'm like...
It's all connected.
I didn't know what it was.
He's also a notorious alcoholic, so maybe.
Fistful of Dollars is like, that is such an awesome movie. I was sitting there watching it, and Becky comes by and goes, "You're watching that movie again?" I'm like,
for the millionth time.
You gotta watch Yojimbo, man.
Yeah, you should watch that. We'll all three sit down and watch that together.
It's Yojimbo. Just take away the guns, add samurai swords.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. All right. Well, I think that'll do it for this week.
Yep.
I am still Nick.
I am still John Biergen.
I'm Mike.
And this is Stranger Still.
I give you the incredible flying machine.